Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Every week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. Last time on The Voice of Hope, we began a study from Luke chapter 17 and verses 20 to 37. It was titled, The Days of the Son of Man. We noted from our text that the days of the Son of Man will come in stages. In the first part of our study, we looked at the present. In our text, the present was the time that Jesus was here on earth, and the Pharisees were questioning him about the coming of his kingdom. You see, they expected an earthly kingdom, but Jesus told them his kingdom would be primarily spiritual. So we continue that study today as I read our text, Luke chapter 17 and verses 20 to 37. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, See here, or see there. For indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Then he said to the disciples, The days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. And they will say to you, Look here, or look there. Do not go after them, or follow them. For as the lightning that flashes out of one part under heaven shines to the other part under heaven, so also the Son of Man will be in his day. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in that night there will be two men in one bed. The one will be taken, and the other will be left. Two women will be grinding together. The one will be taken, and the other left. Two men will be in the field. The one will be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? So he said to them, Wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Because the Pharisees rejected Jesus' explanation of the kingdom, they became the source of persecution. Persecution that would make the disciples long for one of the days of the Son of Man. And that longing leads us to the next stage of the days of the Son of Man. It is the near future. In the remainder of our text, in verses 22 to 37, Jesus speaks directly to his disciples. He refers to the stage of his kingdom in the distant future, but he interrupts his discourse in verse 25 to warn them about the suffering they will experience in the near future during the birth of the church. This suffering will make them long for the kingdom of the distant future, one of the days of the Son of Man, his earthly rule and reign. But before that distant future comes, Jesus said he must suffer rejection from the present generation. In verse 25, Jesus makes reference to the near future, that is, his impending suffering death, resurrection, and ascension. As I said before, Jesus' followers were not totally wrong about the messianic kingdom the prophets spoke about. They were just wrong in their timing. Earlier, I mentioned Isaiah's prophecy in chapters 52 and 53 about the suffering servant. But you know, many of the Psalms also speak of a suffering Messiah. And Jesus repeatedly told his followers that because he suffered, they would suffer too. Now, in the West, we know little about persecution. But in many countries of the world, our brothers and sisters who suffer greatly for their faith in Christ long for the kingdom of God in the distant future. And so should we. Paul, in writing to the Romans, says this, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. And not only the creation, but we ourselves groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." The final kingdom, the distant future kingdom, when soul and body will be fully redeemed, is not possible without the near future kingdom, that is, the suffering of God's people as he builds his church. And like the people of Jesus' day, it is a stage of the kingdom we'd like to bypass. But suffering for Christ increases our desire for the fullness of the kingdom of God, the next stage in the days of the Son of Man. So the final stage of the days of the Son of Man is the distant future. Now, we could spend a long time on the remaining verses of this text, but Jesus gives more detailed teaching on this subject in Luke chapter 21. So we'll just take an overview of the distant future for now. The distant future is comprised of the signs leading to the coming of Christ and the consummation of the age. Jesus points out several characteristics that will be part of this distant future. First, he says, there will be much deception. Jesus reminded the disciples that many will claim special knowledge of the kingdom and will prematurely announce its coming. You know, today some people try to link every current event to some prophetic scripture. Do not pay attention to them or follow them. That's Jesus' command. Many of us alive today have seen those who claim to have special knowledge of that day. And we know they've all been wrong. Jesus further said, that day will not come secretly to those who are looking for it. Its coming will be like lightning flashing from one end of the heavens to the other. It will be visible to all who are looking. Now, there seems to be a mixed reference here to the near future, that is, to the destruction of Jerusalem and the ending of old ideas about the kingdom, and then also to the final consummation of all things. Jesus then states the conditions surrounding this future day will be similar to the days of Noah. And the emphasis here seems to be on the normalcy of life. The people of Noah's day were unprepared and unconcerned about the truth or the future. Like most of the people of our day, they were just pursuing what we call the good life. With no concern for their eternal future, this day of the Son of Man will take them by surprise. Jesus strengthens his warning by his reference to Sodom, and especially warning us to remember Lot's wife. You may recall Lot's wife was among the few, quote, righteous ones who escaped from the city before judgment fell. Yet we see clearly that though she left the city in body, her spirit was really back there. The life of ease and luxury had captured her heart, and so there was a lingering reluctance to part with present treasures. And the eternal loss that she experienced was staggering. And so I say to you and to myself, friend, we need to hold our stuff with open hands, so when the Son of Man comes, you and I can go without regret. And then that future day of the Son of Man will be intimate. It will be personal. In the normal interactions of life, one will be taken and the other will be left. Whether evening or morning or midnight or midday, the prepared will be caught away, and the unprepared will be left wondering what happened. Now the disciples have one final question. Where will this all occur? And I appreciate this quote I found in my studies. As birds of prey scent out the carrion, so wherever is found a mass of incurable moral and spiritual corruption, there will be seen alighting the ministers of divine judgment. This was a proverbial saying, terribly verified at the destruction of Jerusalem, and many times since, though its most tremendous illustration will be at the world's final day. And that's the end of the quote. What lessons can you and I learn as we reflect on these stages of the days of the Son of Man? First of all, the kingdom of God is primarily internal. It is accepting and embracing the spiritual transformation that is wrought by grace through faith. And Jesus said, the kingdom we're part of, his kingdom, is not of this world. It does not act like, function like, or resemble the kingdoms of this world. From the standpoint of our human nature, it is an upside-down kingdom. As we are in the near future of our text and waiting for the distant future, it's imperative that we remain vigilant. Deception is rampant. You know, the Apostle Peter warns us that many will scoff at the idea of impending judgment. Let's not allow ourselves to be lulled to intellectual and spiritual sleep by the progression of days and months and years. An even greater danger is that you and I can become like Lot's wife, so enamored with the things of this world that we lose sight of the eternal. We must not allow material wealth and possessions to be the agents that will harden our hearts and cause that backward look. If we are enamored with the things of this world, we will not be ready when the final call comes, and there will be no opportunity to change. And so I ask you, my friend, are you prepared for that final stage of the days of the Son of Man? Are you prepared for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, today is your day of opportunity. My friend, were you blessed by this teaching? If you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, The Days of the Son of Man. Now, the quickest way for you to contact us is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, The Days of the Son of Man. I'd be happy to send one to you. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact us is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, The Days of the Son of Man. It's available either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands of people are logging on to the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. We invite you to join them so you can be blessed too. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study in the Gospel of Luke with a message titled, Pray and Don't Faint. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.